Good morning. Throughout the past couple of weeks, we've been following the Gospel of Matthew, and we've been learning about the kingdom and the king of the kingdom. And I hope that with this quite long passage that we've read today, we get a taste of the fact that Jesus is wrapping up his ministry. We're about to enter the Easter season, and with these parables talking about the end of time, we finally come in this last section about sheep and goats, the final real public teaching of Jesus. And as we come to hear God's word today, may we reflect on the final things Jesus has to say to us before he finishes up his ministry next week, on the weeks following. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's award season. The papers are talking about it. Influencers are discussing it. Movie snobs are wondering why their favourite film didn't win. The world is abuzz with judgment of who really deserves to be rewarded. In this passage from Jesus, here at the end of his public teaching, Jesus shows his disciples what it takes to be rewarded by him and the award that is waiting for them. Behind every Oscars is a panel of judges. They are tasked with watching every Oscar-nominated film and ranking them. By their expertise, knowledge, and experience, they judge each film, and by their collective ranking, their submissions are received, and they decide who has won each category. But it's quite a secretive thing. Nobody really knows who judges these films. But here, in this section of Matthew, as we come to this section on the sheep and the goats, Jesus gives his disciples insight into who is the judge of the world. Who is he? When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another. I mean, it's not that surprising that God is the judge of the world. I mean, he made it, he sustains it. I mean, what we've read about here sounds a lot like God, except for this small bit which talks about the Son of Man. Who is this Son of Man? Throughout this series on Matthew, we have been learning about Jesus. He's a preacher, a teacher, and a healer who's been going around Israel proclaiming that God's kingdom is near. And throughout this time, he has been questioned by many about who he really is. And Matthew has carefully shown that Jesus has come to fulfill all that was shown to Israel. And so when Jesus says that the Son of Man will come in his glory, he's talking about himself. I'm not sure whether that shocked his disciples, but does that shock us? Does it shock us that this preacher, teacher, healer, and herald of the coming kingdom is actually its judge? It would be like talking to your friend who seems like a nobody, disconnected from reality, and him revealing he's the reason why Sinners won Best Picture. It would reshape who we think our friend is and what he does with his time. Learning that Jesus is our judge should shock us into examining who Jesus is and where we place him in our lives. Do we see Jesus as the judge of the world? And so Jesus moves on, as best as you can, after revealing that you are king and judge of the entire world, and says, "Come, "You who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." Throughout the history of the world, God has been at work revealing himself to the world. The Israelites had experienced God's blessing and had been given instructions on what receiving that blessing meant. Jesus was himself questioned about what receiving God's blessings looked like not moments ago, a few chapters earlier, when he is asked, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" What does it mean to receive God's blessing? If you are blessed by God, what is the most important thing to you? "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Those who understand God's blessing love God with everything. And so Jesus celebrates the blessed as he talks about all the ways that they have loved him. "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." The blessed, the righteous, love God well. But they're left perplexed. I mean, if I was there, I'd be thinking to myself, can God go hungry? Can he thirst? Can he be homeless? Can he be naked? Can he be sick? Can he be lonely? And so they ask him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or feed you? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers, you did for me." Again, we have this identity whiplash of the kind of king Jesus is. He's gone from influential teacher to judge of creation to those in need in our lives. The blessed are perplexed as Jesus makes clear who our neighbors are: the hungry, the thirsty, the homeless, the unclothed, the sick, the isolated, and most shockingly, himself. Is this a shock to us? When we think of loving those in need in our lives, do we think of our actions in such divine terms that we are actually loving the God who made the world? Here, the commandment to love God and love neighbor come crashing together as God reveals that he is loved by us through our love for our neighbor. This should make us reconsider our priorities about what we think loving God looks like. Of all the things we can do to love God, at the top of that list sits loving the people he values, our neighbor, and most importantly, those in need. May I say that this teaching really cuts me to the heart. It always reminds me of what really loving Jesus looks like. The true followers of Jesus love him through the needy. And then there's that second crowd, the goats. And where the righteous have been praised for their love of God through their love of the needy, the sinner gets the exact opposite. "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick, in prison, and you did not look after me. You can imagine the crowd of sinners like someone who is about to win Best Actor at the Oscars. And they've been posting online, I've got this in the bag. And then they lose. It takes the sinner completely by surprise. And so they ask the same question as the righteous. When did we not do these things for you? Truly, I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. You can imagine the rebuke this must have been to the Israelites of the day, or even the disciples who think they have it in the bag simply by being who they are. We, as they were, are warned through this that if they don't love those in need, they don't understand Jesus. This is one of the most hard to hear parts of Scripture. For some, this can be encouraging as we say to ourselves that we want to be one of the sheep. But it can also be one of the hardest as we are either shocked into realizing we've understood things wrong or even recognizing we find it hard to live like sheep. The righteous love those in need because their love for Jesus so naturally flows out of them that they don't care about the status or the significance of those they love. And I'm sure many of us find it hard to love like that. And even, and I can say this for myself, even at times finding ourselves acting like the sinner who actually withholds their love from the needy. If you're one of those people feeling like that, the disciples know exactly what you're feeling. Jesus is about to be taken by the authorities. He will be a prisoner. He is about to have his clothes stripped from him. He will be naked. He was taken from his friends and made a stranger. He was denied food and water, and he will be made hungry and thirsty. He will be raised on a cross and left wounded without care. And the disciples do nothing for him. They did not visit him in prison. They did not clothe him. They denied him. They did not feed him or give him something to drink. They left him sick and tortured. Matthew, on behalf of the disciples, makes clear that when Jesus is crucified, they showed their lack of love for him. Whether you are someone who has been encouraged to live more like Jesus by this passage, or warned about what really is important to Jesus, this is quite a compelling and thought-provoking vision of the future. If it was a movie, maybe it would get good ratings at the Oscars. But remember, the story is not over. We are not at the last episode yet. We need to remember that Jesus says this before he comes back. Jesus wants to give us time to reflect on and understand who he really is. Jesus gives us this opportunity now. And so as we enter into this Easter period, take the opportunity to learn about Jesus as he is left completely without, as he shows us how he is the truly blessed one who truly loves the needy, and how he demonstrates this ultimately is by giving up not just his food or his clothes or his time, but giving up his life for us. And when the disciples finally understood what Jesus had been teaching them all along, when they finally understood the king they were really serving, their love for those in need flowed out of them like the sheep Jesus has shared with us. And we too can experience this. When we too receive Jesus' blessing, we too can see our true faith in Jesus as our love for the needy pours out of us. As we think about this trust in our King, Martin Luther sums it up in this way, the famous reformer sums up in this way, that we are saved by faith alone, but faith is never alone. And Jesus promises that when he returns, whenever that day may be, he will show us how we have shown our love for him through the love that has been poured out on those in need and be welcomed into his kingdom. Amen.